Good morning, New Eden. Today is. Oh, you know what? I did it again. I did it again for the second time. Today is March 3rd, 2024. This is the Federation Frontline Report. That was one of the worst openings I've done in a while now. I
We're out of practice.
didn't have the screen up properly. I picked the wrong thing for the stream. Anyways, I'm your host, Frozen Fallout, and my co-host today is Night Flyer. How's it going, Night Flyer?
Hi, doing great. Good morning, everybody. Had a good week. It's been a good back and forth in faction warfare this week. Some exciting news, both in Federation Frontline and also with the War and the Network we'll be talking about today. And of course, we're going to be talking about the Madtown meetup and all that is going to happen with that. So it should be a fun show. So how has your week been, Frozen?
Been pretty good. Been getting in some solo kills. You know, we had the transition period that we went through just recently of getting back into the Federation Frontline. And now we're, you know, 100% back in faction warfare. Got our roles all situated on Gale Mill, and you know, been joining back up with the fleets, and you know, we've been doing some pretty good pushes. So we've been able to take Devon. Negamenon is on its you know, on its last breath right now. So kind of looking over the map here, we've got Negamenon is at currently 89.6% contested, and the Galente have an overall 32% advantage. We have maxed out our advantage, so the only thing we can do is try and bring down their, I believe that's the, not the propaganda, but the listening posts.
Yeah.
That would take that down. I haven't done a whole bunch of gameplay with that, but we've done a little bit. But 32%, pretty solid, and we've been pushing really hard. Devon is being attacked pretty heavily, but we've been able to really push back their offense, and they're holding at 37.8% currently. Both sides basically maxing out their advantage. The Galente with a minor advantage overall, 3% advantage for us. Over on the Aboon front, we've got the 75.8% contested. Once again, both of them pushing our advantage as high as we can possibly go, and have that at a 2% advantage for the Galente right now. And then Onis Seekin holding at 76.3%, and the Galente have a 48% advantage in that system. So the fighting has, you know, once again solidified, you know, and this has been a frontline area here. Tanalan is also kind of owned by us, but is already at 61.7%. There's not a super strong, there's actually a battlefield going on right now in Tanalan.
Again, I think every other battlefield in our space is there. If it's not there, then it's in Devon. So, actually, we have one in Negamenon last night at like 11:30. I was so ready to go to bed, and but no, we couldn't, because we really want to take that system. We said it's almost at 90%, so hopefully within the next day or two, without any major push, we'll be able to claim that one too. So
yeah, so that's definitely you know, it's going to be interesting if we take Negamenon and we can start assaulting Sugerento. It kicks them out of Devon, which is pretty huge, because they have a lot of stuff and they've invested and they've lived in Devon for a really long time, and this would make it so they can't dock in Devon. And so this will be the first time that Kaldari might be fully kicked out of Devon.
At least over the last year, I don't think we've been able to keep it. If we've taken it back and forth and lost it.
Now we did lose the entire north in order to kind of take this objective. I think a lot of this is due in part to sedition kind of coming down, and has been we've been, as a militia, we're fully dedicated to the Hadeles Old Man Star Fleet area. Like, that is going to be where we fight from. We fight as, not necessarily as a unit, but I mean as a concerted effort, that this is where the war matters. And so there is some front lines that are over on the Kaldari side, but there isn't any real activity besides farming that's really happening over in that area.
Oiks, O-I-C-X, the system, used to be kind of the big fighting in the north area. So it's kind of dropped, but it looks like Frary's at 97.9% right now contested. So Galente may actually take that if we do the push. We came really close last month, and then Kaldari's like fought it all the way back to zero. But Ugalis is at 95.2%.
Well, I think that that's a lot of that is just farming that's happening up there. So that's just going to flip. Those systems will flip back and forth for the farmers that are just going to use those systems. But there isn't, from my understanding, any real concerted effort by the Galente to try and take those systems. And they are not of systems of matter anymore. Where Vivalier, OICX, Aldrinetti, Nenimalia, all those used to be really, really important war zone areas. But everything has kind of shifted down over to the Devon, Abun, Nagamenon, Sugerento, Onasikin, Nisawa, Pinacasto. These are systems of import. You know, someday Tama might actually become relevant again if it gets onto the front line. But yeah, so things have been going pretty good for the Galente. You know, there is some, you know, there's still some infighting that happens here and there. There's minor drama, you know, over different, you know, structures that are being attacked and stuff like that. Yeah. But overall, I think we're in a pretty good spot. There's a lot of fleets to join up with. There's a lot of things to go out and do in the war zone and be active, either solo or small gang oriented. That can be a huge influence to come in and help the Galente. We are definitely outnumbered, you know, more than 2-1, basically. Farmers are a huge part of, you know, dictating the war zone to a certain degree, but the front lines is where you can really make a difference, where just your presence pushes farmers away from being able to farm. They'll go over to, you know, Frary, Ugalis, all of these systems up in the north and stuff, and they'll farm those. And then the systems of import down here, where people need to actually be part of the war zone, this is where the fighting is happening. This is where you can get some really great solo PvP. I've been getting a lot of really great solo PvP. We had a small time period where we weren't in faction warfare, and I was able to get both Galente and Kaldari to come out and fight with me in solo fights, winning some and losing some. I was taking out a fire dual web Firetail auto cannon fit that I was trying out. And it worked really well. It allows you to really dictate range. I still have some problems with the dual web.
I'm surprised it doesn't work as good as the Kestrel setup. You'd think it'd be very similar in use, but I'm with you where I want the Firetail to be better. I'd like it to work.
They did boost it a little bit. It's got better fall off range now.
Yeah.
So you can do a little bit more scram kiting, but
yeah, I haven't flown it since the change, but yeah, like I said, I thought with the dual web it would work very similar to the Kestrel, and it's really not. It's a different ship too. But I've been flying the Exeggutor Navy issue still a lot. Even with the change on there, I still think it's a viable ship. I mean, I've had good luck with it the last week. Really haven't noticed the the damage drop with the blasters or the rail fit.
So the rail fit, I haven't felt it that much. The blaster fit, I feel it, because I can't achieve 1K DPS with my with my ships now. So my E&I with so I which I'm actually okay with because I feel like the DPS loss wasn't great, wasn't a huge hit to for whatever reason the rails seem to have handled the perception of the loss of the what it's like a 15% loss of damage or something like that, or it went from 10% to 7.5, didn't it? What was the change?
It's almost a 25% loss. That's 5% per level. So
It went from 10% to 5%? Let's see. I want to see the.
You're gonna make me do math on stream, really, Frozen?
Well, what was the change? And then I can do the math.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm checking to see.
Now we're looking, yeah.
Because I don't think it was like a huge reduction. I felt like it was a pretty reasonable reduction.
I think it went from 25 to 20. Because it's the bonus for it now.
Yeah, base damage reduced by 20. Never mind, that's intro.
That's what I remember. So 5 times 25. But I still use it as a fleet ship. I don't solo in it ever. I mean, I just don't. There's other ships I enjoy soloing and more.
It is, okay, so it is a pretty strong reduction. So you get a 25%, you used to get a 25% hybrid damage bonus. So instead of getting 25% per level, you're getting 20% per level. So it is 25% reduction in your overall bonus that you get, from what you used to get. And for whatever reason, it doesn't feel as bad to the rail setup, I feel like. But it definitely, you can really feel that because I used to be able to easily get over 1,000 damage overheated, and now I'm hitting more around like 800, 900.
So, yeah, that math tracks. I get it. But it's still a viable ship.
Yeah.
5% hit, I'm like, like many of us now in Faction Warfare, we have a hangar full of them. So you just did. I bought the blueprints. I built the ships. But I was sitting there ready to go. And now you're going to, CCP is going to take 25% off of the damage. So I was a little worried, but I'm not that really worried right now.
Yeah, I think other people are calling for more nerfs on it still. And I think that's good enough. That puts it right in line, especially with all the other changes that they made.
Well, as we were talking pre-show, you know, the other ship that we would fly a lot would be the Osprey Navy issue. We got our ass handed to us last night. And actually lost one of our crewmen, lost a Dread to a fleet of Ospreys. So, again, I still think these are all these ships in this category. All these cruisers, or the Navy cruisers, I think, are still really in line. I think they fill their niche within the game. And yeah, I wouldn't like to see it nerfed too much more. One, because Galente, which we are, has a history of having like bad ships. So
yeah, it's already rough for us. I mean, it was nice having a king, one of the kings of the hill, but it wasn't a lone king on the hill. It had its niches of what it could do really well, but it still had a tracking problem for rails that you have to compensate for, and then you have the Blasters is just, it's so ungodly short range with no fall off, really.
True, yeah, you're not sitting on the button with them. But again, if you're not going with the Osprey, if you're not going with the AIM Omen Navy issue, and I don't think any of it, I mean, the Stabber Navy, or the Stabber Fleet issue, just
not a fan of really. So
we're talking about
the Hey, Navy. Sully, how's it going?
There he is.
But yeah, I think that that was an okay thing to have happen, and it brings things more into line. And overall, I've liked, what we've seen from the patch so far. Yeah. With nice little balancing issue, you know, for things. Still Marauders, King of the Hill, but they're slower now.
Yeah. And the other big change they had was with the Caracal, with their the missile was missile damage or missile fallout.
Missile, the ability for the, how far they can shoot out to, like their speed, velocity, which can also be affect other things too. But
we've enjoyed being in Caracal fleets, and but. Yeah, again, I don't know if this has a huge impact on the Caracal. We had a really nice battle last night in Devon with the guys that brought out a Caracal fleet, and they did pretty good. We pushed them off the grid at one point. They regrouped and then came back again with more Caracals, and ended up pushing us off. So. They're still working, they're still going to the point, so I think the last balance change I think was acceptable.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not all doom and gloom about it anymore.
So we also have some breaking news that was just announced today, not just a few hours ago actually, but Noir is out. They're no longer going to be part of the Galente, unfortunately. But they are meeting up with some of their longtime friends in Kalsif that have broken away from the Kaldari, so they are not going over to the Kaldari or any other militia, but they are going to be joining up with the Garistas. So...
there's that. Yeah, so the network is folded as an alliance. So it's gone, so I don't know what I do with my network t-shirt now that Night Flyer.
all of your merch is gone.
I kind of feel like when Brett Favre left the Packers, like, what do I do with this thing now? So I have to leave it in my closet.
They're memories now. They're memories now for you. So you can be like, I was once part of the once great and mighty empire of the network.
Yeah, so the network has folded. They moved to Kalsif. Now, a little history lesson for those that don't know. So, before getting to faction warfare, network was actually going to, or it was just Noir. The network wasn't even there yet. Noir was actually going to fold into the other guys, the Kaldari, because of their relationship with pilots that are on Kalsif. So, but I argued against it. I said, just given the numbers and the fact that Mango was already in Federation Frontline, we were already doing kind of the podcast, and you let me on the podcast and I just kept showing up and you didn't kick me out, that's something I don't know, but so I pled my case, and then literally that within hours of that conversation with the corporation at a court meeting, we picked up a contract. And Alex said, yeah, well, we are going to Galente. So that's how that kind of all held up. But now with Kalsif kind of falling apart and splitting, where the group that, you know, Alec has been long-term friends with, I mean, this is going back, as far as I know, back to the old, like, Wrecking. Am I that right? Wrecking Crew days.
Well, we do have Alec in the audience, so maybe he'll correct you.
We should pull him in. Pull him in so he can see if Alec wants to come into comms.
Yeah, if he goes into the Crossing Darkness, that's... yeah, he wants to make a statement. If he doesn't, that's totally understandable as well.
Yeah, true. He's got his own show, and I know he likes to talk his own stuff, but... there you go.
Yeah, drop into the green room, and I'll... if you want to send him Night Flyer, the green room invite.
Oh, he should have.
But yeah, so you were saying, though.
Where was that? Oh, yeah. So, with the Kalsif split, the people that we had interacted with and were friends with, and the guys that were part of the Alliance tournament teams and stuff like that, split from Kalsif. I guess they are Kalsif, but Kalsif split. And so it just opened up the opportunity for the network to fold and Noir as the corp to move out of faction warfare for Galente and kind of get into the pirate stuff. I think, like many people, when they rolled out the Havoc expansion, were kind of excited about the pirate aspect of the game. So, and I know we had a lot of pirates pilots that were exactly thinking the same thing. Let's, you know, how this sounds like a lot of fun. Excuse me. This sounds like a lot of fun. And maybe we could give that a go. So, again, it's an exciting opportunity. Now, you know, Mango's going to stay with Federation Frontline, just as, you know, you are, obviously. So my two mains will split. And again, well, we've been there before. We've done it. Mango was in Federation Frontline when we took a contract with Kaldari way back in the day, before all that happened. So, you know, we go. I work around that. I can wear two hats.
Yeah, no, this will be interesting. I mean, I definitely was tempted to go to Garista's or Angel's, specifically Angel's more than anything. Yeah.
I still have to laugh at you and Samson and in Iceland when they announced this, because, you know, Samson's totally a pirate at heart.
Oh yeah, he's truly hardcore. That's all that he wants to do is pirate.
So when this came out, he was just like, oh yeah, we'll do that. And then I'm like, don't we have a podcast like we do?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we could have done. You know, we could have chosen some specific rebranding to do right at that time. But yeah. I've always wanted to stay Galente. I've been Galente, you know, since the beginning of Faction Warfare. So my heart is really with the Galente. And so my kind of take on it was maybe do like an alt, but I just haven't had time. There's so much shit to do just in Galente space, you know, just fighting for the Galente, you know, our own NPSI and the NPSI stuff that we join up with, the open standing militia fleets, you know, there's sedition fleets flying around all the time. You know, this allows us to, you know, have a full plate of stuff to do, and hasn't really given me time to even jump onto an alt and be like, what is, you know, from the actual perspective going on, as in, you know, somebody trying to jump into, you know, the Angels or the pirate stuff and really learn. And I also don't want to do like a whole new character, so, you know, I was thinking maybe putting my alt into it, but it just is too much work at this point for, you know, something that I know is also having some saturation problems of multi-boxers and massive farming that, you know, it's more of a farming opportunity. And it has some interesting stuff that happens in the game, mechanics of changing space into low-sec. And... What's that?
You want to grab Alec and pull him up? He's down in the...
Yep, I...
But no, I completely agree with you on that. My buddy, I told you I met up with my buddies in Goon Swarm on Friday. Went out for lunch and stuff. And he's still like, you know, we got to get an alt in Goon Swarm. I just don't have that kind of time.
Alec.
One up. But, I mean, that's a whole nother career right there. Is Alec live yet?
Yeah. Living. Hey guys.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Going good. Hey guys.
Hey, appreciate you popping in. So we're hoping you could help us with some of the history here. I was trying to kind of piece it together off of my memory, which sucks ass. So.
Well, you guys are scooping declarations of war on this because I had to move our recording from this morning to tomorrow.
I thought you already.
Oh no.
Oh, we're sorry, man.
No, we love it. We love it. It's good.
You're becoming that famous where your show can't even get ahead of the media that's learning about what's happening with your corporation and alliance.
That's I guess that's a feather in the cap of sorts.
Well, yeah, I saw the post today in Militia, and I was like, oh, okay, so it has begun, and you know, we had. Dropped out and joined up with the old alliance that we had, the Federation Frontline. But I was waiting to really talk about it until you guys, of course, made a declaration.
Yeah, appreciate it. It wasn't a big deal if anybody knew ahead of time, but I wanted to be able to make a big announcement and just keep everyone on the same page. History-wise, I've known Templus Calcif for a very long time. this goes back to our great Wildlands days, when Noir wanted to stay in Mercenary Coalition, and I was like, no, we can't stay, it's gonna kill the corp, which it did. They were like, no, Alec, you're crazy, this is Mercenary Coalition, it's like the best thing ever, you need to leave. So I was like, okay, this is what you guys want to do, I don't want to mess that up for you. I handed CEO over to someone, and I kind of retired from mercenary life for a little while. And when I did, I decided to do a trade hub in NPC Nullsec space. So I started a new corporation, moved down to Great Wildlands, put my flag down, and started building a community around there. And that's when we started to interact heavily with the Templus Calcif guys, because they've maintained a presence in Wildlands / Derelict for like ages. They've been there as far as I've ever known. So you're big facets of that community, and we instantly gelled. We really, really liked those guys. Eventually, I wound up joining their alliance with that corporation, and we got more and more closely integrated with them and the Wrecking Crew Coalition in general, which they're part of.
Nice. So you have strong ties going all the way back. And
I would say at least 5 years. And honestly, when Noir relaunched, I would have put it in Templus Calcif initially. The only reason we didn't is because they were still in Kaldari Faction Warfare. And especially in those days, Faction Warfare was just super, super bad. This was pre-rework. And I was like, well, we can't take contracts in Kaldari space. We can't move through Kaldari space. We're going to take standing hits if we do any Faction Warfare content. That doesn't work for me, brother. So we went our own way on it and just kept it outside of their alliance. We were still part of the coalition in general. But I had a great experience when I was in their alliance, and I'm looking forward to doing it again.
That was awesome, man.
We had the opportunity to fly with them a few times over the last year or two. It's a great group of guys, some very high-skilled pilots in that corp. But I remember, Alec, you and I having the conversation when we were actually thinking about, hey, can we do faction warfare in between contracts kind of stuff? And I know the Calcif guys were big at, like, you know, kind of going that way instead of coming into the Galente Federation. So...
We think it's the better way to go. What really opened me up to it as a possibility was the fob fight we had near Hadales. Was it an Arcelaire?
Oh, yeah. The one where the Galente won for the first time. The first victory.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what system it was in, but yeah.
Our fleet was like twice as big as the Garistus fleet, and they put in a really well put together zealot fleet. It was balanced, well flown as far as I could tell when we were fighting it, but they were just so heavily outnumbered, and I thought to myself, man, where are we at where Galente is the one lobbing people out?
Yeah, the Garistas, I think, when it comes to... I mean, the thing is that they have strong farmers, right? They've got some really good, you know, strong farming team. It's not as good, I think, as the Keldari's farming team. But the Keldari's farming team is not farming Garista content. You know, they're off doing their other farming content. It's still easy for them to win their... insurgencies without really a big problem. What they have a problem
but only
with,
if no one else tries.
But yeah, only if a PvP group doesn't come in and just start knocking around their farmers, and because they don't, you know, like, they're used to dominating in that area, because why, you know, the Galente don't want to go there, because it's normally in Kaldari space, because they own so much of the possible space that where it could be. So you're going to be in Kaldari space fighting Kaldari for the most part, but why have the Kaldari, you know, come over and actually want to deal with it? And it comes down to what space you're kind of conquering, and where you are situated in the war zone. Is it convenient for PvP to take place in that area? There's some attacks that'll come from, so I think there's still a lot of good PvP content in the area. It just is not something that the Kaldari are going Kaldari and Galente are going there for PvP. That's the only reason why they're going there. Where you don't, so the it looks offsetting with just by going by the numbers of people that are working for each sides and stuff like that. The Galente or the Garista look like they have a lot, but like you said, in the end, when the FOB fight came, they only had, you know, 1/3 of the numbers that they needed in order to fight off the Galente. And that's just the Galente. Yeah. It wasn't like a team effort of the Kaldari coming in and trying to jump in on this as well.
Yeah, exactly. And when the pirate faction warfare first dropped, there was a lot of talk about how we should be switching sides. Because, you know, it's the new feature. Everybody's excited for it. I'm like, guys, everyone is going to be having that exact same conversation. You're going to have a lot of people that try it out for a couple weeks. Let's just wait and see where it lands. And sure enough, for the first month or two, tons of players were in Garista Militia, and Galente was still outnumbered. Now you're seeing that cool down a lot. It's settled into mostly the farmers and like one or two active organized groups. And with Kalsif leaving Kaldari Militia, because the split they had in their alliance, it's like, oh, you guys are leaving Kalmil, you're looking for what to do? This side needs some more numbers. We want to stay in faction warfare between our contracts to, you know, just get access to that content and that PvP and keep ourselves in the area without taking tons of sec hits. So this, it just felt like the right time, all the planets in alignment kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea for you guys to wait a little bit and kind of see. And I believe me, I'm super tempted to come along with you guys because... I mean, it is. I did when we did participate in that fighting recently, where the Galente won. The pirate stuff content is kind of fun. It would be really nice to make 3 times as much worth in LP by doing that content. Like, it would make it way more. Like, if the Galente got 3 times as much LP for doing a site as the Garista did, then I might be like, oh. And it's 3 times more than what my faction warfare LP payout is, but that's basically what the payout is for this. Is looks way better, and the content is better. I think one, there is no defensive plexing; it is all right. Offensive, and that I think that's a huge bonus. There is no stupid farming that needs to be done. Like, you have to have farmers. If you don't, your coalition will die in this system. That is no longer part of it. You do need farmers to kind of achieve your objectives still. That helps out a lot. But you don't need stupid farming to be done. And the content of the saving or destroying a Roycule is really cool. Like, I find that to be a really interesting gameplay where you're going in, you have to kill a whole bunch of NPCs. Your enemy can come in and need to kill their NPCs, but there is like stopping the clock, but it's not like rolling back and forth, and it doesn't take forever to do. So, and it's like a constant like kind of roll of activity that you can do, and it's something to fight over, like that both right. sides want to fight over, comparatively to like battlefields where usually it's one side really wants to get in there and get that offensive LP payout that you get, and the other side is defensively fighting in a battlefield that might not be worth any LP in the end to them. I think,
which is a really weird dynamic when you think about it.
I felt like that was really poorly thought out with the concept of. I thought for sure battlefields, since they mechanically are no different for an offensive and defensive, that you would be like, oh, full payout, you know, for completing, and then that would make us clash and be like, oh yeah, we both, you know, it gives us a reason, not just they. At least they did boost it up where it is worth it for holding, defending, and trying to take a system. A battlefield is a nice little like, you know, here's like 3% in your favor, oh, yeah. Which is huge at this
point. It's the best time investment for faction warfare if you're talking about system control. But if you're thinking about it as an individual from LP payout and like what you're getting personally out of the site, defensive is just doesn't line up. So you have this weird dynamic where people are like, oh, it's a defensive plex, just let them take it.
Right.
Instead of trying to go for the fight.
Place that's got like 3%, you know, contestedness already to it. So it's like, okay, so we'll either get nothing and they get a little bit of something. But I mean, come on, that's not like it's tipping the favor so strongly in their side that this is going to be when they're going to launch a real assault on that system that nobody's assaulting right now. So, but yeah, I think that the gameplay right now is in favor of pirate stuff. There's just little reason why we would want to do it other than it's a little bit more fun, but a lot more dangerous. With having the...
That sounds like a great reason.
I mean, a little bit more fun and a lot more dangerous is a good reason.
Frankly, I'm surprised Gwen's not chomping at the bit, because his gate camp will be quite lucrative if he's doing it under the Grista flag.
That's very true, and there is a lot of like the added bonuses that I felt with the NPCs being on your guys' side is kind of terrifying, coming in neutrally or as an enemy side when you're coming into a level 5 corrupted system. It's not as easy for us to set up a gate camp in a level 5 corrupted system, because the NPCs will be like, no, I don't want you guys to be here. Go away. You need to have everything really well set up.
Drop and some even bubbles. Then,
yeah.
Plus, someone in Noir pointed this out, and like, obviously it's true if you take 5 seconds to think about it, but it just really wasn't something I was considering. You get Garista LP for killing Kaldari and Galenti ships in PvP.
Yeah, so you
just like a significant boost. It's like you get, oh, you pop this pod, you get 5,000 LP. Oh, cool. Except now that 5,000 LP is really worth about 15,000.
Right, exactly. Like the three times, the indifference, or the difference in LP worth, I'm not sure if CCP thought that out or if that's, they just really wanted that three times advantage to the, I'm surprised everybody, I was actually really surprised that everybody hasn't gone to a pirate militia when it comes to any kind of money making. Like if you were in this for money, this is where you would go.
I presume that'll balance out at some point if a lot of people did switch over, right? Or is that baked into how their LP store is designed?
I thought that it would drop more, and it feels like it's stabilized at 3. At 3 times the worth. And it doesn't seem like it's really bouncing that much more. And the thing is to say that how sought after and easy it is to get doesn't really influence the price as much. It's what you are getting that influences the price of LP, which is an example of like the Kaldari LP store. There's way more of them farming, and yet their LP is not dropping comparatively any different than what the Galente's LP is dropping, because their stuff is just better. The Phoenix Navy issue being such a sought after really good item makes it so that that's kind of where the floor is, right? For whatever really sought after items that they have. And then they have like ammo and missiles and things to kind of, you know, but so I think the structure of the LP store is what's really important on the price, and that it seems like it's stabilized at about 3 times more worth out of the Pirates LP store just based on what it is. So I don't think that that's going to come down unless CCP changes something, which is really good for you. That's,
well, I mean, it wasn't, it's not the reason that we're doing it. We're doing it to access the PvP content, but basically the guiding rule is what's going to give us the most targets, and this is going to give us the most targets.
And I would agree with you on that, absolutely.
It does help that, you know, if we're going to be off contract and we're going to do some kind of PvE, you know, you might as well get the most is per hour you can out of it.
Absolutely, yeah. And the PvE is a lot better, I think. That the design of it, it's added a little bit more flavor of danger with points and stuff like that. Everything being offensive, being a little bit quicker and easier. Like, they got NPCs may point you and there may be three of them, but it's actually quicker to kill those three, you know, frigates or whatever, than it is to kill that one frigate at the same size of the Plex, or the destroyer that's in that Plex. Because they're designed to be easy to kill, not as high of a DPS check, but there's three of them, and they might be scramming you. Or, well,
right, it puts you at more vulnerability from players for a little while, which I think is good design.
Absolutely. So I really like the design of what it is, and I wish you guys all the luck on coming out. I know you guys are still going to be sticking around probably in like KD Lee's area,
yep.
And since
we'll
you,
still be
you
there.
Don't get kicked out of anything.
So, yeah, that's another thing. You can dock all over. Just a little weird.
You're kicked out of Galente Highsec kind of now though, yeah. So you'll be, you know, the police will chase you there. But you know, you're going to become pirates anyway, so you might as well just become more piratey.
It'll be cool though. We can dock wherever, which is good. We might not go to every insurgency that pops up. We've already discussed that, and it'll depend where it is, how much money we think we need, that kind of thing. I think it's likely we'll just stay around Hadley's for as long as the war zone is concentrated here, and just
third party
get our content that way. Yeah. But if we do need to make money, we'll do like an alliance deployment like we would for a contract. We'll pack our carriers and dreadnoughts full of ships, sign them on over, which we can do now because we can dock anywhere.
Yeah. Opens
and,
up things a lot easier.
Yeah, I think it increases our mobility in some ways and then decreases it in others. You know, it's a bit of a trade-off. Losing access to Dixie on mains is obviously a little inconvenient, but we're already doing a lot of alliance logistics out of corporation anyway, just to get access to the Jita trade hub. So, you know, it's going to be a consideration, but I think between our logistics and Calcif's logistics, it'll be better. Especially with Galente's logistics being so heavily disrupted over all the events that happened this past December.
Yep.
I think we'll actually be coming out ahead on it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So one thing to transition us a little bit here, are you still going to be coming to the Eve Madtown on May the 4th be with us?
Oh, 100%. There's a slim chance I'll move between now and then, but I doubt it. So, unless I massively relocate, I will be there. I'm trying to convince Arcadus to come. I don't think he's gonna. But, yeah, hopefully we'll get a couple of our folks up there if we can.
Yeah, we got the Discord going now, so we're gonna be doing a good push for that. We're gonna do a little bit more advertising and stuff, but it looks like just from the initial, like, little interest that we're trying to garner right now, we've got some pretty good interest in this, and I think that we might be able to get up to, like, you know, possibly 20 people, and I'm trying to see if we get that kind of interest, we might be able to get some more space dedicated to us and stuff like that, where we'll be working more with the event. But under 20 people, they're like, you know, just come, you know, I'll still give them a heads up and work with them a little bit.
Right.
But I think at the bigger parties is where you get a little bit more fanfare that you'll get from the place itself. But also it's some more strategic planning that I need to do if we have that large of amount of kind of people that are going to be coming and stuff. So we're kind of getting our head count now. But it feels like it's right around an easy 10 people will probably be showing up right now. But hopefully we can get up to like maybe 20 some odd, you know, plus people that want to come down. One of the things that I want to think about doing is doing some tournaments for different games, like Street Fighter or for Mortal Kombat. They've got Punch Out. You could do like Frogger High Score, you know, like whoever at the end at midnight strikes midnight, you know, give us your initials of what, you know, you put in, or you know, we'd have to work out something for like finding high scores. There's also a bunch of pinball machines that they have, so we do have up on the Nightflyer stream in here the different games that they've got.
Frozen and the highlight of the entire bar, in my view, Killer Queen. They have
yes.
a fabulous Killer Queen cabinet. If we can get 15 people, we could do a round robin.
Yes, so I was thinking also, yes, where we might do, yeah, if we can get at least 10 people, because it's 5 people each, right? I believe is the max for Killer Queen.
Yep.
Whoever sides win, each one of them would win, you know, some kind of skin or plex that we would give out for the team, the winning team, basically. So if we can get 10 people, then we can get at least a 10-person, you know, possibility of getting 10 people that want to play Killer Queen, or Killer Bee.
We could also pull in a few ringers from the puppies. If
yes.
We had to, you know.
Yeah. So if
they play, don't get the skin, obviously. They just get a recruitment link.
Right. And if they do play, you know, all you have to do is hit me up. I'll still, you know, you're a new player and you might be getting a really expensive skin. So that might be really helpful to, like, be like, oh, hey, I'm rich. And then you'll find out that a billion isk is not that much money sometimes when you can.
Yeah. If we have, I know it's a mostly evening thing, but if we have that number of players coming in, especially people from out of town, we could also look at doing something in the afternoon.
That was some other stuff that I was thinking about too, was possibly doing some lunch and stuff like that in the afternoon, and then possibly brunch in the morning on Sunday type kind of thing. Ooh. Before everybody kind of heads out. So and that also comes down to kind of organizing and seeing how many people might be interested in doing something like that. So on the Discord, I plan on expanding some more event ideas as we kind of get closer here. So the next month is my plan is to kind of get feelers on what people are interested in, see how many, you know, are showing interest within the 1 month mark, and then kind of making things more reality leading up to the last month of, you know, these will be the set things of these are the tournaments we'll be doing. These are the events that we're doing, and see if there's, you know, interest in doing afternoon lunch somewhere or hanging out afterwards. Is like there might be an after party, you know, the secret after party that people might be able to get into. So
nice. Well, I'm happy to bring up a poker chip set or a route could support 6, 7, 8 players if we really wanted to. I've got both. Happy to bring whatever you guys need.
Yeah, there is some table space that's there as well for board games and stuff like that too. I think we have a lot of good little possibilities. So I was thinking about kind of looking through some of these games here though, and just seeing if you have do you have any back memories on the old arcades? Did you ever go to old school arcades?
Oh, yeah. I was constantly in arcades. I loved the old X-Men side-scrollers. Pretty much any side-scrolling beat-em-up I loved. And pinball was a constant favorite. And then shooter games like the House of the Dead series, games like that.
Yeah.
Time
Crisis was really good. Yeah, and I played the... And I found out... They have X-Men here, and me and my buddy did play all the way through X-Men and actually got to the end of X-Men. And I just, as a kid, must not have had enough quarters to just keep on pumping into this game to get all the way to the end. But I finally got to the end of X-Men. There's Altered Beast, which is a really great Sega game.
Yeah. And I got some of the old school games too, like the Tapper, Frogger, Qbert, obviously Tetris. My wife still plays Tetris all the time. So
there's also demands for us to put our beautiful noggins back up, so I'll let everybody see. It'll be harder to read the, but it's a podcast, yeah. So you're supposed to be listening to this. So we should just.
But yeah, Samson and I will both be up like in Madison on Friday night or Friday. I might even go up earlier, like Wednesday or Thursday, because I get off work Tuesday. I don't have to be back until Monday. Next Wednesday. I'm taking the whole week off. Anyway, so we've talked about having like an icebreaker on Friday night. I mean, I'm sure we'll be drinking anyway, or at least meeting up. So,
yeah, Friday night, there's definitely going to be some minor, possibly unscheduled, maybe scheduled if there's enough interest in it. Going out and probably hitting up IO the night before is what I was thinking, just to, you know, get into the scoping it out. Or there's a bunch of other places to kind of hang out in Madison as well. So there's also another arcade bar that we could also check out.
Yeah, Madison's a great town. I've got relatives and stuff up there. It's where my dad's from, Madison. And Ghoster and I met there, but I was going to say Frozen and I met there for a Summer Swarm meetup. And we had such a great time. Steakhouses, piano bars, ice cream shops.
Yeah, we could go to the piano bar on Friday night. That's a good bar to go to.
Ice cream sounds amazing.
Ice cream is also a good place to go. Oh, is there any Tetris experts, I wonder? That might be a good one to have a tournament for high score on. Also, Guitar Hero. I bet you we've got some people that are masters of the guitar.
Ice cold beer. Is that a game or is that like an advertisement?
I'm pretty sure that's a game.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever played it. Oh, they've got some really good. Also, you can go over to Pinballs, and they have a bunch of pinball machines that are a lot of fun. Deadpool, I've been playing a lot of. And Godzilla, I've been playing a lot of.
Oh, my mic's in the way. Oh, my mouse froze. There it is.
The Big Lebowski, as well, is a good one. I think I played the Whodunit. I'm guessing it's the Doctor Who. But I know people love their pinballs. So.
Mm-hmm. I got a scoot, but I am very much looking forward to that meetup. We need to just hype it up a little more in our, I think, see if we can get a few more people to come. Because I know it's not Eve Vegas, but it's a good time.
definitely not. Not quite an Eve Vegas, that's for sure.
I will say it's one of the best meetups I've been to. I'd say Eve Vegas, Eve Down Under, Madtown meetup.
Oh, wow.
Strong number three.
That's I feel very honored with that. And
it's definitely the best meetup that a dev wasn't at. I'll tell you that much.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of makes it easy when you've got a really cool place that you can have everybody meet up at. So that's one thing that really helped, I think. So, and I'm looking to make more advantage of that.
Sorry. Bob Barbecue, number three. You guys just love the Bob Barbecue.
It's a whole
weekend of drinking and meat production. Can't start to top that.
Well, I kind of want to add a little bit of that into this. A Sunday, we might do like a barbecue. That sounds like maybe we could start the Madtown barbecue, where it's, but it's a secret meetup that, you know, nobody knows about, except for them talking about it on the podcast. But we talk about it on the podcast as a joke because it doesn't really happen. See, now everybody's wondering, does it happen? No.
It does, because last year we planned this whole Garista militia flip at the barbecue.
We did,
as you'll recall.
I do remember this. Awesome, man. Well, thank you for jumping on. I think this is actually a good time for us to wrap things up as well here. So come on out to Madtown. I'll pull up our little poster here. But yeah, EVE Online Madtown meetup Sunday, May 4th. May the 4th be with us. 5 p.m. to midnight. It's at 924 Willie Street, Madison, at the IO Arcade Bar. It is a 21 and over event, so I unfortunately have not made accommodations for under 21. I do apologize. We might, eventually change to a venue that's a little bit more 18 and above friendly. However, at this point in time, we will continue to hang out at an arcade bar that's got some of the coolest games of my childhood. That just, like, so much nostalgia that happens every time I walk into that bar. So
All right, I'll see you guys there. Bye, everybody.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Alex. Have a night. But he could stop by.
Yeah. All right, we're wrapping on up here. Thank you so much for coming on out, and have a great night.
Good night, everybody.